Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everyone. This is Kelly Harris. I'd like to thank you all for calling in, walking in the fifth steps of Jesus Ministries. Tonight we're going to be talking about Jesus' message to John the Baptist. And let's turn to Luke, the seventh chapter. I'll be reading 18 through 23 together. But before we begin, let us all pray. Lord Jesus Christ, we thank you for today, Lord Jesus Christ. We pray, Lord, that the word to be your word, Lord, not your messenger's word, because it's always your word that comes and speak, Lord Jesus Christ. We pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. And amen. Let's turn now to the 18th verse of Luke. Chapter 7. The disciples of John told him about all the things Jesus summoned. All the things that Jesus did. John summoned two of his disciples and sent them to the Lord to ask, "Are you the one who is to come, or should we look for another?" When the men came to him, they said, "John the Baptist has sent us to ask you, are you the one who is to come, or should we look for another?" At that time, he cured many of their diseases, suffering, and evil spirits, but he also granted sight to many who were blind. And he said to them in reply, "Go tell John what you have seen and heard. The blind regain their sight, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, the poor have the good news proclaimed to them, and blessed is the one who takes no offense at me." Now, reading this, you're wondering, why did John even ask this question? But let us remember, John was brought up in a religious household. Father was a Pharisee. Don't know about if John was ever a Pharisee in his life. Might have been. I don't know until he got revelation to go out there and preach out in the wilderness. That's all we know about what John had done. John may have always knew his mission and never thought about becoming a Pharisee. However, what the religious scholars of that time were teaching, that there would be two messiahs. One would be a suffering one, conquering one. However, when Jesus answered John's question, basically what he told John was, there is no second one, I'm it. And, according to the Torah, the one who is the Messiah, the great warrior, as they thought, who is Jesus, who came out of suffering and will come back as a warrior, according to the Torah, the Messiah was supposed to cast out demonic spirits, heal the blind, heal the people who are lame, and raise the dead, and also give hope to the poor. The only thing that the Messiah could do. By telling John this, he knew John would understand it because John, I would say from his father's teaching, that he knew the Torah like the back of his hand, and he knew the study of what the Messiah was going to do. Telling John this, he knew John would understand. But here's something that may interest you, that these teachers of the law, the Sanhedrin, the Pharisees, who ruled the religious sects of Judaism during this time inside the temple. They knew about this. They knew about what the Messiah was supposed to do. Here's where the signs that the Messiah was going to do. And let's read these signs in this chapter. All right? And he said to them in reply, "Go tell John, you have seen and heard. The blind regain their sight, the lame walk, lepers are clean, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, the poor have the good news proclaimed to them, and blessed is the one who takes no offense in me." Now, the Pharisees were not disagreeing with Jesus over interpretation of the Torah. When Jesus was doing these miracles, they knew the sign. But you may be wondering, well, why didn't that change their heart? Because of their own religious zealotry, and as they say, power does corrupt. Think about it. Why did King Herod want to stop the prophecy? Why did King Herod send his army to Bethlehem to kill all the children up to 2 years of age, because he was trying to stop the prophecy of the Messiah from coming true? It was at this time they knew the Messiah was supposed to be born. And so, the Pharisees, just like Herod the Great, saw that the prophecies were coming true. They knew the Messiah would come from Nazareth. They knew Jesus was born in Bethlehem. They did know that his family lived in Egypt. Now remember, how would they know this about him? Because remember, he was the cousin of John the Baptist, and as John the Baptist's father was well known to them when he was alive upon the earth. So they knew. They knew when Jesus was doing all these miracles that only the Messiah could do. Think about it. There were other Messiahs who were proclaiming at the same time as Jesus of being the Messiah. However, they did not heal the lepers. They did not give the blind sight. They did not raise the dead. They did not give the poor hope. In fact, they were political. They were asked to say, "We're going to get the Romans out of here. Follow me." What did Jesus preach? "The kingdom of heaven is at hand." Because wherever Jesus went upon this world, or any town in Judea, the kingdom of heaven followed him. So the kingdom of heaven was right there in Judea. Amen. But you see, it is very appalling that the Pharisees and the rest of the Sanhedrin and the Sadducees, they knew who Jesus was. They knew him. And yet they wanted to put him to death anyway. Here's another thing they also knew. They also knew during the last days, the Holy Spirit would descend upon all men. So imagine when they discovered that the Holy Spirit descended upon the disciples, and later on, all these converts to the Lord Jesus Christ. They decided, the leadership, Sanhedrin, to fight with God. They didn't care about the truth. All they were caring about was the worldly power they had. And they also convinced themselves through their religion that they had a way to get to heaven despite fighting with the Lord. They thought their Talmud that they had written was the answer to get them into heaven without following anything that was written in the Torah or was said about the Messiah. Or even when the Messiah came to them, they thought they could get around that. There was a lot of Jews who followed Baalism during this time as well. And Kabbalism is a form of witchcraft inside the Jewish faith. And they believe in their Kabbalism faith that they have the power to control God. Imagine that. The power to control God. So God bends to our will? No. It's the other way around. We bend to God's will. But you see what the Jewish leadership at that time saw. They saw men being healed. They saw things they could not do because they chose not to follow. So they knew the prophecies came true. They knew the Messiah would be put to death. They knew he would rise. Somehow they thought they could stop that too, because what do you think they wanted the Roman soldiers there to guard the grave? Was it to block to keep the disciples from stealing Jesus' body? No. They knew that the disciples wouldn't try that because they already knew the disciples got out of Dodge. They weren't going near there. But they're probably, what I would say, what their hope was, they wanted those Roman soldiers there. Did rise from the grave. They thought those Roman soldiers would cut him down. And again, and again, Jesus and the prophecies would be dead on arrival. We know what happened, don't we? When Jesus rose from the grave, those Roman soldiers bravely ran away, you might say. They never saw anything like that in their life, and they ran away. And what do you think the Pharisees did after that? Rather than trying to tell the soldiers that they were crazy, they bribed them to tell them that the disciples had taken the body. Fishermen, think about it. How could fishermen overcome a professional soldier? If they're like you and I going to Fort Knox and trying to steal the gold from the vault in Fort Knox, and we're gonna overpower trained soldiers to get that gold. You think that's going to happen? You think we're going to get those gold from the soldiers? I don't think so. These men are trained to fight, and we'd be on our backsides before we know it, before we could even touch one gold piece. So here again, the Pharisees, knew what was going on. They knew like John did when Jesus gave the message to John the Baptist about what he was doing. He knew John would understand. Well, the Pharisees understood it too, my friend. But you see what religion does? Think about it. Within our own church body, religion can fight against God. You may be saying, what do you mean? Well, look throughout history, my friend. Christian persecute Christian. And Martin Luther questioned and wanted to reform the Catholic Church and separated from the Catholic Church. What was the Catholic Church's response? They wanted to arrest Luther. In fact, they wanted to put him to death. And I could even say among Protestant denominations, they too did things that were not Christ-like to people, especially if someone said, well, wait a minute, the Bible doesn't say this. This is what it means. And this Protestant faith or even Catholic faith would say, you're a heretic, so you're going to jail, or we're going to put you to death, or we're going to burn you for witchcraft. Let's stop fighting God, church. Let's stop being a religion, church. Let's be followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. One may even say, when you think about this, the Apostle Paul, he too knew. Before he saw Jesus on the road to Damascus, all the prophecies that were there about the Messiah. I am sure he heard, and I'm sure some Pharisees and Sanhedrin probably even told him about Jesus actually healing people. So one wonders, did Paul at that time think and know Jesus was the Messiah before he met him on the road to Damascus? That the religion of the Talmud and everything that was part of the Jewish faith at this time, he believed in it, and that was more important to him. And knowing that God's Holy Spirit would descend upon men, he didn't care because he was going to stop the prophecies as well. Ever think about that, that he understood as well? Paul was not an ignorant man, and he knew Scripture from the back of his hand as well. But what did change Paul? Seeing Jesus on the road to Damascus. Because what did he say to Jesus when Jesus saw him on the road to Damascus? Who are you, Lord? See? He knew who was coming to him when he was confronted and told him, it is I, Jesus. Why do you persecute me? Why do you kick the stones? You go, why? And the fact of it is, Paul may have known the truth before he officially accepted Jesus Christ as a Savior, because so filled with religion, he didn't care. Now, I know I'm probably starting a debate about this. Don't want to start a debate because I'm just saying there is a possibility. And it's a very quite possibility that he, like the other Pharisees, knew about this. Pharisees didn't know what was going on, and I'm sure Paul did too, because he rose very quickly within the temple of the Sanhedrin when he was warring against our Lord Jesus Christ. And my friend, that is what we have to think about, my friend. What is religion? Religion can happen in any denomination within our churches. It can happen anywhere. It could happen in a Methodist church, a Catholic church, a Pentecostal church, Church of God church. And many people think that if they do these things that the church has, they're going to get to heaven. I know with some Pentecostals, they'll tell you that they're saved because they can speak in tongues. They do all the right moves. They go to all these right seminars. They know how to say the right things. Raise their hands during church, showing the world that here they are walking with Christ. But at times, in their own, after church, you might see them as the most selfish people you ever saw in your life. Me, selfish. And you wonder, how could they do all this by waving their hands and speaking in tongues, but yet be selfish and show contempt for somebody else? Well, I'm not going to talk to you because you're not part of our faith. You're part of another denomination that's not coming to our church. And you've been brought up with that faith, so therefore, you don't speak in tongues. Therefore, you don't do all this stuff and you don't raise your hands during church. You don't run around the church. Therefore, you must not be saved because this is what I do. And I go to all the seminars, and I know all the Pentecostal, the evangelical preachers that are out there, past and present. So that makes me holy. Does it? What makes you holy? Is it going through the motions of church worship? or is it your faith? Gotta watch out for that, because if the church service makes you more, makes it more important for you, the problem you're facing is you're getting into a religion, and that's more important to you. And one day, if you stand before the Lord and the Lord rejects you, then you have the nerve to say, well, Lord, I did all the right things when I was walking on the earth. I talked in tongues. I waved my hand. I ran around in the church. I went to all these church seminars. And I did everything because I did everything in the Pentecostal way and the Church of God way. I did everything. that showed the work, that showed the church that I was okay. But yet, did you? How did you treat yourself mad? Did you petty, deception, devious, ruthless, unkind? Now, I'm not just taking on the Pentecostals. This could be with any other church denomination that follows the denomination more than what the Lord teaches us. And I would say this, my friend, that what is scary, if Jesus were to appear before our churches today, many churches would be like the Pharisees, understanding the truth, but want to crucify them for telling them the truth. There are some people that other denominations teach, such as what happens with my friend with the Baptists. They'll tell you that once you're baptized, you can go on sinning because you just cannot help but sinning. We are also told through Scripture, when we walk with Christ, we are a new creature in Christ. This means when we walk any place where we walk, it could be our job, it could be in our places that we live in, where we go to get our gas, where we go, the kingdom of heaven follows you and I because we are now a new creature in Christ. And if you say the Holy Spirit is living within you, and the Holy Spirit does live within you, then wherever you go, the kingdom of God follows you. So make your faith and show the love that you have for people. Come out. Be like Jesus upon the earth. Don't show the world that I'm a good Catholic. I'm a good Baptist. I'm a good Presbyterian. I'm a good Pentecostal. I'm a good Church of God person. I'm a good Independent Baptist. I'm a good non-denominational churchgoer. I'm this. I'm that. Well, my friend, you could be all that, but you have to be like Christ upon this earth. And believing that you cannot live upon this earth without sinning, that is a lie the enemy tells you. Because what we are told through Scripture by the apostles themselves is that we walk with Christ. And if we know Him, we live for Him because His Holy Spirit is within us. And if He lives within us, we don't drag someone down by sinning. And I'm not talking about the old sins you might have done. I'm talking about religious sins that you might do that might chase somebody away. I know in the Baptist or even the Catholic Church that you cannot take communion unless you are part of that denomination. Because the denomination will deny that you are really saved. And my friends, we have to watch it if we are Catholic, if we are Baptist, or if we're Pentecostal, or Church of God, we should not deny anyone who is saved. How do we know that we're not saved? We don't. But our denomination tells us so we believe it. Let us not do that. Let us not do that. And why do I say that? Because the Lord knows what is in your heart and what is in my heart. And if He sees your heart like Jesus Christ, because His Holy Spirit lives within you, then you are saved. And you keep on growing in the Lord and believing everything that Scripture tells you and I, that it's in the Bible, that we follow. That is what we do. We follow Him. And wherever we go, His love follows us. I know people who follow the Lord. And wherever they go, you see Jesus living within them. Wherever they go, to a place to place. I also know some people who like playing church. I know some good Pentecostals who play church. I know some people of the Church of God who play church. I know some Methodists who play church. I know some people who are non-denominational play church. And what I mean by playing church is, you sure know the basics of your denomination, but you don't show the love that Jesus Christ brings. And if you're wondering, how come I can't bring anyone to my church? It's because you're making them feel that they're not worthy when they come up to the altar and they feel safe. If there's no one up there praying for them and saying and putting their hands upon them, they're not going to feel saved. And if the people there aren't talking to them and ignored by the church denomination, is that what Jesus did? No, of course not. If you're going to behave like Jesus, you talk to the new person that comes to church. You don't act like, well, you're not one of us, so we're not going to talk to you. We're going to ignore you because we know you're not truly one of us. Who told you that? Well, some spirit told you that. It wasn't the Holy Spirit. It was a demonic spirit. A demonic spirit coming inside the church? Yes. To disrupt the church? Why not? If he could just disrupt the church by getting us to get into our own religious beliefs and getting into our own comfort zone, that we love our religious beliefs, oh yes, he will. He will. Those demonic spirits will come inside the church and cause trouble. So, denounce the devil. Show kindness to your friends at church. Show the people, a stranger comes in the church, love and respect and show them that you love them. If they want prayer, pray over them. And for a member of your church who's going through problems, pray over them. Don't talk behind their back and say things behind their back. Pray for them. That is what a live church does. Gossip behind a brother or a sister in Christ. We do not do that. We do what Jesus would have done. And if you don't know what Jesus would have done, you need to open up your scripture and read the four gospels, and you also need to read the Acts of the Apostles and the letters of Paul and Peter and James and John and Jude. You need to read it because, again, they were Holy Spirit inspired what to tell you and I how to walk in the body of Jesus Christ. We weren't told to do anything different. So be a church. Let us be one church. And let's stop calling ourselves that denomination that we belong to. And that you ask someone if they're saved, and they say, sure, I'm a Baptist. Or I'm a Catholic. I'm a Methodist. I'm a Pentecostal. I belong to the Church of God. I'm an independent Baptist. Not a Baptist, but an independent Baptist. Well, is that going to get you into heaven? Does that impress the Lord? No. I'm afraid it doesn't impress the Lord, but the presence of the Lord is your faith in Him. And by the faith, that's how you show love for others. If you show the kind of arrogance that, well, if you don't worship the way I do, you're not saved, so get away from me. I only associate with people of what I think is my own kind. Well, you're not walking with Christ. Walking with Christ is associating with everyone, showing everyone compassion and love, and bringing them to Jesus Christ. By being arrogant and doing other things and saying, I did this, I know all everything, and therefore evil in the sight of the Lord because, hey, I'm saved because my belief or my church tells me to be mean and backstab and do devious things to my brothers. No, you're not. You're supposed to be walking by faith. You're supposed to do what Jesus did. Jesus even told his disciples, he didn't want them to lord things over each other. Love one another, he told them. But he just didn't mean that just for his, he wanted the words to be brought to his people. Who are his people? We are his people. And this message in the Bible to you and I, it's for you and I to love one another. Not to reject one another. Not to fight with one another. and not to curse one another. They're supposed to be one body, one mind in the Lord Jesus Christ. And let us stop this bickering and fighting within the church. I know some churches, Northern Ireland, for instance, where the Catholics and Protestants hate each other. You may ask that. The leader of your church, and both Protestant and Catholic, will tell you, for the Lord Jesus Christ. But why are you trying to kill each other? Because they worship the wrong way. The wrong way? How could you worship, if you truly follow the Lord Jesus Christ, how could you follow him the wrong way? And why would you kill him? Your fellow brother. Now, there's a difference between following him the wrong way and actually following him the right way. And what I mean by that is, when you're a baby Christian, you need to be taught. And this is where many people in the church make this mistake. They see someone come in, they get saved, they're all happy that they're saved, to assign that person a mentor to help them grow so they do not fall into the world. Then when that person falls back into the world and does the things he used to do, or she used to do in the world, then we act like we're surprised and say, where did they go? They wanted us to the altar, but what happened? Well, you happened because you didn't bother to mentor this person. And we do need to have a mentorship within the church to mentor someone, not to fall back into the old ways and to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. So wherever they go in the world, the kingdom of heaven will follow them also. Do not teach them about what your religion says. Teach them about what Jesus did. And if you teach them and stick with the basics about what Jesus did, you cannot go wrong. Things will go right. Amen? Do I have an amen on that? I hope I have an amen on that. I know in some Central American churches, including the Catholics and the Protestants, there is a problem there as well. But all I want to say is that again, if Jesus Christ and you're saying he's your Lord and Savior, why do you persecute someone of not your denomination, of not being someone of the faith? Do you know their heart? So go out there and preach the gospel and bring them to the Lord Jesus Christ. Do not be someone who follows your religion within the church. When you follow the religion, you wind up becoming a Pharisee. And you become a Pharisee, you don't care about the truth. If Jesus came to you and gave you the road to Damascus experience, you might find yourself arguing with Jesus over the scripture, acting like you know more about scripture more than Jesus does. Because your religion says this is how it's supposed to be. Now, if you find Christ in your heart, how can you be turned away from God? Well, easy, because you were saved, you were not baptized in the Baptist faith. And you're not baptized in the Catholic faith. And you're not baptized in the Methodist faith. You're not baptized in the Presbyterian faith. Oh, and by the way, you were not baptized in the Pentecostal faith. They're baptized in the Church of God faith. And you're not baptized in the Church of Christ faith. And you're not baptized in the non-denominational faith where we have the true meaning of how we should follow because we have our church doctrine right here that says how we worship. So try again, you unfaithful sinner, and go away. No, we don't do that. We don't do that. We praise a person who is saved, and we help them grow by praying over them. We don't ignore them, and we don't treat them like an outsider. We welcome them. Think about it when you get there spiritually. Are people there going to ignore you there? Are people going to be cheering when you step the first time, you step through the pearly gate, and you see Jesus for the first time? How many people are going to be welcome you in with love? If people in heaven could act like that right there, you who have the who's supposed to have the kingdom of heaven with you, with the Holy Spirit living within you, to show that same thing that the people in heaven are showing now to people who made it to heaven. The kingdom of heaven is right now within the church, and let us show this kind of love and celebration for the someone who comes within our church. If they're saved or not saved, let us welcome them in and bring them to Christ, and let us help them grow, especially when they accept Jesus. Especially, we welcome them in more so, and we give them a mentor and help them grow, and do not teach them about your denomination or the history of your denomination. Who cares about your history, about your denomination? The reason why I say who cares about that is because you're going to drown them with the history of that denomination, that you're not teaching them anything about Christ Jesus at all. And right there, they're not even growing, but they sure know about the history of your church, though. The history that you should teach them is the love of Jesus Christ right here now upon the earth. That Jesus' word is alive 2,000 years ago as we are now, and they can live by his word today and live by it through their heart by knowing the truth now. Not your religion. Not your religion. So, my friends, we're going to stop here for tonight. We sort of ran out of time here. Join me next time when I teach again. And I'd like to say, may the Lord Jesus Christ bless you. And let us be what a true church should be. And let us not walk in our religious beliefs. Let us instead walk in Christ Jesus. Let us not behave like the Sanhedrin did, who knew the truth like Jesus. If you claim you know the truth of Jesus, but you follow the religion of your church, you are a Pharisee. You are a part of the Sanhedrin that was back then 2,000 years ago. Because if that religion is more to you than what the words of Jesus said and how you should live and bring the kingdom of heaven upon the earth to people, and you can't do that, you need to reflect for a moment and perhaps stop following the religion and follow our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. And amen, my friend. My friend, thank you for calling in, and thank you for downloading this program later, and may the Lord Jesus Christ bless your old lives. I say this in the name of Jesus. Amen to you all, and amen.